Many of you know that I was a sprinter in high school. I ran the three individual races up to one lap around the track. That was as far as I went. And also both relays. In four of these five events, it is crucial to stay within your lane for the entire race. To wander even slightly into a competitor's space means disqualification. But in the 400 relay, there is an added limitation. One must receive the baton within the passing lane that is clearly marked on the track. You can start running anywhere within your lane, but the pass must take place inside those lines that are crossing your lane. Many a relay team, including quite often the U.S. Olympic men's squad, has come to grief because it could not make its exchanges within the prescribed boundaries. The necessity of remaining within one's sphere on the track was very much on Paul's mind as he penned the words before us tonight. The Greek word translated sphere that Paul uses three times in our passage is kanon in the Greek. This is a word with many possible renderings. It was literally a measuring rod called a ruler. So it always has the idea of setting out boundaries of one kind or another. In the other place in Scripture where the word is used, Galatians 6:16, it is translated rule in the New American Standard. Sphere here, rule in Galatians 6:16. The idea in Galatians is a standard for measuring behavior. Okay, so we see how that is used there. But commentators have suggested many synonyms for this word. Field, province, territory, they're all in the spirit of the kanon. Most anything that has to do with limitations or boundaries. What's interesting about Paul's use of kanon here is that he does seem to have the track analogy in mind. Because the word can also describe a lane marker and was so used in the sporting contests of the day. This is why Paul speaks of his sphere as reaching even as far as Corinth in verse 13. He seems to be envisioning a lane in which he was running that stretched all the way to the city of Corinth. That was part of the course that he was given to run, a course that he claimed to have finished when he eventually faced death. And of course, we have taken this word canon into English as canon, and we speak of the canon of the Bible, and we even speak of the canon of really any author's work. It describes all the writings that can be accepted as legitimate to that particular author. But Paul's concern here in these verses is that the Corinthians were allowing others to run in his lane. You say that they were poaching on his territory. These competitors should have been disqualified as flagrant cheaters a long time ago. But somehow, Paul's opponents were still in the race as far as the Church of Corinth was concerned. Paul will now explain that he and his companions were the only legitimate runners competing in this event. But while Paul tries to get his audience to understand the importance of boundaries here, we need to be paying close attention as well what is true of Paul and Timothy and Titus is true of all of us. We have been given a sphere to be active in. It is crucial that we stay within that sphere. One day when all the events are over, we will come before the judge to be awarded our laurels. If you are a sprinter, you will not get credit for trying to run the mile instead. If you are a marathoner, you will not be rewarded for pulling a Rosie Ruiz and cutting off a quarter of the race in order to finish first. We need to consider as we go along tonight whether we are staying in our lanes as we are ministering to others and pressing on to the finish line of our particular race. Our first point from this passage is that God apportions a sphere to us. We see that in verse 13. Within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure. We keep coming back to this in 2 Corinthians and certainly everywhere else in Scripture. These matters always start with God and what He does. The word apportions means to divide up. God starts with all the possible spheres of spiritual impact and then divides them up among His people. You're going to have this impact and minister to these people and in this way and with these gifts and so forth. Divides them all up. The word translated is apportioned is also translated assigned or allotted in similar passages. God assigns, He allots, He apportions to each one of us a sphere. God has given each of us a lane to run in that has specific dimensions. That is the measure that we find in our passage, the Greek word being metron, and we take our English word metric from this. God has given us boundaries for our service to Him that have a given width, we could say a given length, we could say that we've been given a certain amount of space for our endeavors. In the spiritual realm, God sees this, the space, you know, the measure of the sphere that we've been given. It's clear to the spiritual realm what we have been allotted. The measure of each of our spheres is unique. This is, of course, true in very general terms. God determined our lifespan before we were born, so our lifespan will have something to do with the sphere that we're given. God determined where we would live, at what time in history we would live, what the circumstances would be like in the surrounding society. He's distributed talents and gifts as He saw fit. Each believer is given a different mix, but we all have our own ministries. We all have our own particular field in which to labor. So being active within our sphere begins with the understanding that God has given you something specific to do. Something that no one else can do. For Paul, it was his role as an apostle and church planner. That was his sphere. He was always meant to work with the Corinthians and with the Philippians and with the Romans. He could not have written these verses if he was not absolutely convinced of what God had given him to do. So are you convinced about the sphere that God has allotted to you? This is my sphere. We might not be sure of every little detail about that. I would guess that you're not. I'm not. But I believe that we are to have a sense of personal mission in our service to the Lord, a sense of what our sphere is. We talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning, at least referred to it. I'd like to just again read these verses because they're for every believer. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." Okay? Different gifts, different ministries, different effects of those ministries, but everyone has those things given to them by the Lord. Verse 7, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Verse 11, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills." Well, that's the apportioning, allotting, assigning, distributing to each one just as He wills. Each one. Nobody got left out. Verse 18, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired." Couldn't be more clear. Our life of ministry is not to be whatever drifts past us or what happens to fall in our lap while we're doing what we see as being really important in pursuing worldly matters. And I've got my worldly focus, and if ministry just jumps up and slaps me upside the head at some point, I guess maybe I'll have to, give it a thought or two. That's not the picture here. Our life of ministry is intentionally fulfilling what God gave us as a sphere of influence for Him. When we do have this mindset of ministering in our sphere, okay, Steve, I got it. God's given this to me. I've got to pay attention to it, fulfill it. We must beware of two abuses of our sphere. First, it's possible to underextend. That's not a word as far as I know. But I think that it communicates in contrast to our second abuse, which is overextending, and we do have that word in our passage. Paul does not speak to underextending specifically in our passage, but as he does mention that opposite extreme in verse 14, I think it's fair to say that one can fall short here as well as go too far. And we have words in Scripture supporting this idea, such as those given by Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 14 through 16. Listen to the counsel that the Apostle Paul has for Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, 14. "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." Do you hear that? Do you hear what Paul is telling Timothy? Timothy has been given teaching gifts, and he's been given a ministry in Ephesus. And he was not to neglect anything that was in his sphere. He was to fill up all the space that he was supposed to as a pastor. Not come short of anything by not persevering and progressing and so forth. Obviously, he's telling him to do these things. Well, to not do those things would be not to fully fulfill his sphere that he was given. We underextend when we do not number our days, when we do not redeem the time, as we are told to do in Scripture. It would seem that many professing believers are poor stewards of the sphere that they've been given, either through laziness or faithlessness or worldliness. There just doesn't seem to be much passion for using all of the sphere that God has given. All that space. A lot of empty air there. They're like a runner who walks and crawls and dawdles and figures, you know, whatever, I'll get there eventually. Paul, on the other hand, kept pushing ahead, you know, to see what kind of course God had laid out for him. He wasn't satisfied even with Corinth or with everywhere else that he had already been. He was ready to keep on going, we see here, to regions beyond. If God should enlarge his sphere, if God should keep the running lane going on past Corinth, he wanted to keep on running. Would it take him to Jerusalem? Would it take him to Rome? Would it take him on even beyond Rome? Would it take him to Spain? Where would it take him? He was going to keep running and find out. But it's possible to overextend as well. Paul says that he was not doing this. He wasn't overextending in what he was doing with this church. His inserting of himself continually into the affairs of the Corinthians was completely legitimate, he's saying. Others might say, this isn't where I should be. I'm telling you, I'm not overextending myself by being involved in the way that I am, and even saying I'll come and discipline you if I need to. He had been used by God to plant this church. He'd already staked out those boundaries for Paul. We could say that Paul's opponents were running out of their lanes, but it's unlikely that many of these guys were even believers. It seems pretty clear that they were not, especially as we go along through this chapter and things that we'll read later. God had not apportioned to them anything in his church. They were completely unsuited, we could say, for this race. But it is possible for believers to try to take some space that has not been granted to them. For instance, women who take authority over men in the church are overextending themselves. They're out of their lane. Those who take church office, even though they do not meet the biblical qualifications, are overextending themselves. Local bodies that allow such things are acting as poor judges in the spiritual track meet. The results, therefore, of the events become meaningless because of the chaos that ensues. You throw out the boundaries, what happens? What happened to baseball's measurements when steroids got involved? Suddenly nothing really meant anything anymore. Well, that's what happens in the church when people do not stay within their boundaries. Sometimes we want a ministry or we want a lifestyle that God has not apportioned to us. Peter dealt with that a little bit at the end of John. We talked about that this morning. We can envy someone who, you know, maybe seems to be a little more in the spotlight, a little more valued by others, who seems to have it better. We think, well, we could do just as well as that person doing it. How hard can that be? That person does it. He makes it look fairly easy. And so we try to move into that sphere a little bit. Hey, that should be me. Beware of that. God has a way of allowing the overly ambitious to make fools of themselves. We need to learn to stay within our sphere, which is our third point. We need to see our limitations as blessings, not as unnecessary hindrances. Why is my sphere like this? Why can't I have a different sphere? Why can't I move into that sphere? No. Even the Apostle Paul knew that the Lord had given him boundaries. There were things that he could not do and be faithful, be fruitful. He was careful to remain within his boundaries. He was commissioned by Christ to go to the Gentiles. That's what he was told to do. Go to the Gentiles. Go where the gospel has not been preached. And that is how he spent his life. I'm sure at times he wanted to just hang out in Jerusalem. You know, get some extended R&R. Be with a more established church. He might have craved a more stable ministry at times. He might have wanted to have more mature saints minister to him. And why do I always have to be working with the immature? But that was not the course that was laid out for Paul. That wasn't his sphere. That wasn't his lane to run in. That's not where the blessings of ministry were for him. That's not where the contented life was for him. He was to preach the gospel where it had not been heard. For Paul, that meant that he would have to discipline himself. Stay focused on his own training. Not get caught up with what was going on with anybody else. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. You know these words, but very apropos, since it's the previous Corinthian letter and also very much in the analogy that we're dealing with. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. It's going to take self-control to stay within your sphere and to make the most of your sphere. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Wow, what a sobering word to those who preach. But he says, you know, disqualification is a possibility. You can get out of your lane. It'll take the kind of commitment that we see here in these verses to stay spiritually fit for the ministry that God has apportioned to us. John MacArthur points out that even Jesus knew that he needed to remain within a sphere. A sphere that the Father had appointed for him. This is what you are to do during your years of ministry, Jesus. You might naturally, ordinarily think this or that or the other thing, but I will direct you to where you'll be most fruitful and most pleasing to me. He was told at times that he needed to move on to another city, even though the ministry was going gangbusters where he was. So off he went, and everybody would be kind of scratching their heads and, wait a minute, you know, what? You're blowing it. It's look at all that's going on right here. You're going to leave, you know, now? No, I have other places that I need to be, other ministries to be involved in. Sometimes the ministry needed to take place at a given time, and so he would delay before leaving to go to wherever so that certain things would happen. But he had a sense of what the timing would be, and he couldn't go outside of that timing, even though it often again seems strange. In contrast to Paul, Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Paul to the Gentiles, Jesus to the house of Israel. Jesus rarely went far outside of the region of Israel, rarely ministered to Gentiles. They were there, here and there. You know, the foreshadowings are there. But that wasn't his sphere. His priority was the training of the disciples that he had been directed to choose by God. Prayed all night the night before. So he knew who to select, even though one of them was a traitor. Probably not somebody that a Jesus would ordinarily have picked outside of the plan of the Father for what was to happen in his life. He took pleasure in staying within his sphere, in being at the beck and call of the Father. This is what you want? Okay, this is the best. This is what I'll do. When we think of how circumscribed was the ministry of Jesus, how can we expect that it would be any different for us? What service is God prospering as you obey Him? Allow circumstances and counsel and prayer and your own passions to guide you in this. Where is God putting you? I don't care where you would like to be. We can all think of situations in which, you know, we would like to be. And wouldn't that be better? Guess what? If it's not happening, the answer is no. It wouldn't. Where are you in life? Not where would you like to be. Where has God actually put you? Okay, that's where you start with your sphere. What is God actually doing? Who is around you? Take some inventory. You know, you should be gaining a sense of, wow, this is my sphere. If you aren't convinced of it yet, you should be looking at these things. Submitting to this, pursuing what God has chosen to give you, that is going to be your true freedom. That is going to be your satisfaction. Because He knows best. It'll often be very unexpected how that turns out to be just the perfect place for you, the perfect ministry, etc. We need to see our sphere as God's gracious gift to us. That's how He's telling us what is best for us and what is best for others. And again, others, oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. This is about other people and what's going to happen in their lives, not just me. This is how God protects us. Why would we want to go beyond what God has equipped us to handle? Why would we want to go beyond what He has prepared good results for? Why do you want to go and be part of something that's unfruitful, that He can't bless? We're reminded of Baruch, the helper of Jeremiah. Ladies, Baruch, ring a bell? who did not like the plans that God had for him. The response of the Lord to him was, "Are you seeking great things for yourself? Do not seek them." It does no good to try to go beyond what God has apportioned to you. Rather, learn the secret of Paul and be content within your sphere. Whatever that involves regarding your circumstances, minister where God puts you, and he promises that you will find satisfaction in that. He also promises to reward you when your race is finished, as we see in verses 17 and 18. "But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord, for it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends." This is the commending regarding our sphere. We have a sphere of ministry by God's grace. We have a sphere in which we can make a spiritual impact. We can do something that has eternal consequences, and that is given to us by God's grace. We fulfill our calling by God's grace. Obviously, don't hear anything that I'm saying tonight with, "Hey, you know, get in there and just really do it by your own strength." It's by God's grace that we fill up the space of our sphere. And then God actually rewards us for what he's enabled us to do. I mean, such a deal. God gives it to us, gives us the grace to do it, and then rewards us for doing it by his grace. Even though he was the one who was at work in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's wonderful, and that's the way it needs to be. I mean, that's the only way I'm ever going to have any security that God is actually going to do something with me. Because it's left up to me, no. It's going to be a botch. Paul's opponents were boasters in their own abilities. They were constantly awarding themselves first place laurels. Ta-da! I did it. Despite the fact that they had not accomplished anything worthwhile. They had been working to destroy things that were good. They were tearing down, not building up like Paul. And yet, hey, you know, they ascended the pedestals that they had erected and waved to the crowd. The biggest irony was that they were not even on the list of approved entrants into this tournament. They'd crashed the meet, and they'd cheated all the way to the podium. They were like the Grinch in the Jim Carrey movie, who in the sack race knocks over all the little children on the way to the finish line and then crows, "I beat you, I beat you," to the 7-year-olds. The Bible tells us, "Let another man praise you." And ultimately, the only other man that really counts is Jesus. Paul's quoting Jeremiah here, and we do well to get the whole thing. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. "Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches." I mean, that stuff goes on constantly. That's the drumbeat of our culture day and night. "But let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things. Wow, let him who boasts of this, that he understands and knows me. How the Corinthian church needed to hear this, how we need to hear this. Much of our problem in staying within our sphere is that we want something to boast about before men. We want to look a certain way. We want to be seen as a success. You know, we're playing the comparison game that we talked about last week. But the only comparison that is worth focusing on is how our actions are measuring up with the sphere that we are given. That's the only comparison that we should be concerned about. How does what we're doing measure up to the sphere that God has given to us? It's the one whom the Lord commends who will be approved. Now, it's not wrong to commend each other. We've talked about that. Not wrong to say, hey, I was blessed by that act of service. Encourage each other. Persevere. The Lord is using you, etc. That stuff is fine. In fact, that can, to an extent, be the Lord's approval. But unbelievers will usually commend the wrong behavior. So you discount what they commend. And even believers can be undiscerning about whether you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. Can they know the heart? The Lord does. We're not to be swayed by anything but the Lord's approval, received both now to a degree and at the judgment seat after our mortal life is over. That's everything right there. The one that the Lord commends at that time says, here are my rewards for your lifetime of service. Whatever it was, wherever it was. So I want us to leave tonight thinking about, yes, track and field. I like to think about that. You might not. But give it a thought now and again. Like it or not, if you are a believer tonight, you're in the biggest tournament ever held. So run in such a way that you may win. I want you thinking about your course. I want you thinking about the lines that mark your lane. I want you to think about what disqualifies a person. Run with endurance. Run carefully so that you stay within the lane that you've been assigned. Labor in the field that you've been given, not that of another. This is important for your own life and your own reward, of course, but let's also take a bigger view as we leave. We're all involved in the relay as well. You're carrying a baton that was passed to you. I can still hear they were hollow. I can still hear the air, the wind that you created going through the baton as you ran with it. Whoo, 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 whoo. You've got the baton. You're running along. Those who have run before, those who have finished well, they're cheering you on. We've got a cloud of witnesses. And there are those who are waiting to take the baton from you. Can you see them waiting at your finish line? Mile relay, you could always see them lined up there. You were coming in. You were going to come in hard. You were going to give him the baton. Do you want to botch the exchange? It was the crowd gasps in horror. Clank. The baton falls to the track. Pick it up. It's all kind of embarrassing. Keep your eyes on Christ, and the past of the next generation will be a smooth one. Let's pray. Lord, keep our minds focused on what is of true significance. So many distractions. So many options in this day and age. Options that are okay, at least some of them, but they don't put us in the sweet spot of our sphere. May we run with purpose, and may we run with endurance, and may receiving that prize from Jesus be our goal. We ask it in His name, amen.